Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Aurelia Metals September FY22 quarterly conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dan Clifford, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rachel. Good morning, everyone. I have Ian, Peter, and Adam with me this morning as we step through our September quarterly performance. For ease of reference, we'll be referring to the presentation titled AMI Investor Presentation September 2021 Update and Outlook, posted on the platform this morning. Just before we dive in, a couple of opening comments. I think for those who have listened or heard from myself or the team, we're not actually that renowned for the use of or the common use of words such as fantastic, stunning, excited. But I have to say, as we look through these results and what we've achieved, it's actually getting very difficult not to use those words. And it's a good problem to have for us. And I think just to make a start on these, if we could just move over to slide five. Performance, particularly our operating performance, with some great results across sustainable development, production, especially Dargues, and at a group level beating our Q1 gold forecast for the quarter. Moving through into exploration, and it feels, as a team, every time we put a hole in at the moment, we're snapping back in our chairs with the success of the results we're getting from this program. And then onto our growth projects, where we're moving well beyond blue sky thinking and arm waving, actually into execution now. So move on to slide seven. With our performance to plan, it's fantastic to see the momentum in our sustainability performance, with solid and repeated gains across both recordable injuries and reportable environmental incidences. Move over to slide eight. Our run rates put us spot on track for this year as we progress through, with gold ahead of the September quarter, as I mentioned earlier, and our full year guidance across the board being reaffirmed as a business. So I'd hand over to you, Peter.
Thanks, Dan, and I'll talk to slide nine initially. As the charts on the right of the slideshow, we delivered a strong result for the September quarter, with higher gold production underpinned by really good performance out of the Dargues operation. Our zinc output was supported by higher grades at Peak and Hera, and we processed more lead zinc tonnes in this quarter through the Peak concentrator, which contributed to that zinc output. At Peak, we put in more tonnes through the concentrator and we're in one lead zinc ore campaign and one copper ore campaign. In this quarter, there was less copper ore processed, and that led to the lower copper metal production quarter on quarter. We did see some exceptional lead zinc grades and high gold grades come through from the Kairos and Kronos mining areas, and that contributed to the strong metal production and lower all-in sustaining cost from Peak. Over at Hera, our stoping occurred in areas where the grades were above the life of mine reserve grades, in the case of 50% for base metals. These higher grades offset the lower processing tonnage, which was impacted by two factors. Firstly, ore supply was mine constrained for a period as we encountered poorer than expected rock mass conditions that delayed stope access, particularly in a portion of the North Pod area. And secondly, towards the end of the quarter, the process plant was bottlenecked at the concentrate filter, with daily base metal grades of up to 20% lead zinc being treated. These very high base metal grades will continue to restrict mill feed tonnage in the current quarter, but obviously support very strong metal production. At Hera, we also concluded a competitive tender process for both the Hera and Federation mining contracts, with Redpath Australia selected for both work programs. The new Hera mining contract will commence in January, with the Federation exploration decline development planned for later in 2022. Moving to slide 10, which goes into some more detail around Dargues' performance, I think it's fair to say that the Dargues mine delivered to expectations in the September quarter. The feed grade, The mined ore tonnage, backfill placement and processing volumes were at planned levels and contributed to record quarterly mill throughput of 91,000 tonnes and 10,800 ounces of gold production. The feed grade of 3.9 grams per tonne gold was 63% higher than the prior quarter, as the mill treated higher grade stope ore that was deferred from the June quarter. Also of note was the proportion of development ore in the mill feed, which fell from 46% to 30% on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Looking forward at Dargues, our mine plan continues to show that gold grade and metal production will further increase over the life of the asset as stoping areas access higher grade at depth. I'll now hand over to Ian, who will discuss our group financial performance for the quarter.
Thanks, Peter. Another good quarter as Aurelia tracks to its FY22 operating guidance. Aurelia finished the September quarter with $66 million of cash on hand and is well positioned to continue to fund its exploration program and its Federation and Great Cobar growth projects. At Dargues, due to timing of concentrate sales and shipments, there was an increase in gold concentrate at the end of the quarter. The increase in working capital impacted cash generation during the quarter. The market value of the concentrate on hand at the end of the quarter was $6.8 million. In the December quarter, Dargues is transitioning from bulk concentrate shipments to containerised shipping, which will improve cash flow, reduce costs and working capital. Aurelia made debt repayments of $4.1 million relating to its term loan, which is scheduled to be fully repaid by September 23. Aurelia also cashed back $4.3 million of its bank guarantees, which are used for environmental bonding. During the September quarter, Aurelia spent $2.1 million on its Federation and Great Cobar growth projects, as well as $5.8 million on its exploration program, which was focused on Federation, Kairos and Great Cobar. Adam will now provide an update on the outcomes of these programs.
Thanks, Ian. Aurelia once again had an extremely successful quarter with respect to drilling and exploration, with significant extensional results at all three of our operations. Referring to slide 13 of the presentation, recommencement of exploration at Great Cobar has produced immediate results with follow-up drilling beneath the current resources, delivering a spectacular intercept of 5.4% copper over 13 metres and a second intercept of 2.6% copper over 37 metres, including 4.2% over 12 metres. Latest results left high-grade copper and gold mineralisation completely open at depth, with the next round of drilling to test the massive potential of this area. Moving to slide 14, very strong copper has also been intercepted at Kairos in a new area immediately along strike to the north of the current development and stoping area. The grade tenor of a number of these intercepts is quite exciting, including 5.9% copper over 7 metres, 5% copper over 6 metres, and a 43-metre intercept of 2.4% copper, including 5.7% over 6 metres. A number of the high-grade copper intercepts occur close to established and planned underground development, offering a convenient platform to access this new mineralisation. The copper mineralisation remains open up and down dip and along strike in both directions, and we are planning immediate follow-up drilling. Moving to slide 15 of the presentation, last quarter saw a record 17,000 metres drilled at Federation, as we move the project closer to operating status. New results from the program continue to see the Tier 1 grade profile of Federation confirmed and extended, with the potential emergence of a new high-grade gold corridor on the southwestern boundary of the deposit. This includes a new intercept of 9.7 grams per tonne gold over 23 metres, including 42 grams per tonne over 5 metres. Further coarse-grained gold has also been noted in other drilling from this area, with full lab assays still pending. to further highlight the incredible grade tenor of Federation, an intercept released from the central part of the deposit in June this year of 70 metres at 18% lead zinc still represents, on a length-weighted basis, the best base metal intercept released by any ASX-listed company this year. These results are likely to provide strong upside to the resource profile currently being examined as part of the feasibility study. It is also worth reflecting that on the current trajectory of the project and subject to necessary approvals, we could see early production from Federation a little over 3.5 years from the point of discovery. An amazing feat considering industry norms of 7 to 12 years. Intensive drilling is continuing into this quarter, with our geologists continuing to push the extent of the known deposit in multiple areas. Finally, moving to the Dargues mine on slide 16, this quarter saw the receipt of the final results from the Phase 1 drilling program, which was the first substantive exploration of the project since 2017. Of particular significance was an intercept of 4.2 grams per tonne gold over nearly 10 metres that represents the deepest ore-grade gold mineralisation identified at Dargues to date, some 80 metres down plunge and to the east of the current main lode resource. Combined with previous results announced earlier in the year, this area has significant potential to expand the deposit at depth. The company has already commenced the Phase 2 drilling program at Dargues, with an underground rig now drilling the lower part of the main and bonanza lodes. Refinement of our geological and structural understanding gained from the Phase 1 program, along with detailed underground mapping and sampling, has contributed strongly to the design of the Phase 2 drilling program. This includes the identification of numerous near mine targets, priority targets along strike of Dargues to the east and to the west, and nearby regional targets, with surface drilling to commence during this quarter. Back over to you, Dan.
Thanks. Just moving over to slides 18, 19 and 20. Move through these. So Pete, just to summarise, Kairos is on, the EIS is ahead of plan, and the drilling that we're achieving and the results we're achieving from Great Cobar more recently just go straight over the top and right in conjunction and addition to the current PFS that we're running. Moving over to the Hera Federation, it's boots on ground. You'll note in that photo in the background all the piers in for the camp expansion. Those modules are all in place now. The enabling works for the projects across the civils and the decline for the Federation development or operations development are well and truly on track for the business. At Dargues, as Adam mentioned, stage two exploration drilling is now in place ahead of schedule, and we're significantly front-end loading the approvals process for the extension of this operation. So if we just take a step back, we've just heard from the team through three key areas. It's fantastic to see the performance to plan. This is driving certainty in our operating platform, followed with the stunning results from our exploration continuing to deliver in the business. There's a real balance that's shifted here with our exploration program. These aren't just intercepts now. These are all material life extensions to operations and at high grade. And as Adam mentioned, some of these high grades, they're the best in the market at the moment. We're well and truly moving beyond just this intercept methodology. And then for our projects, exciting to see we've actually got people on the ground now executing on these projects with really clear line of sight to value generation or creation for our shareholders. So with that being said, I think, Rachel, it's a good time now to move into Q&A, please.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Dylan Kelly with Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
Good morning, team. Two from me. Starting off with Dargues, great to see the run rate ratchet up pretty quickly there. Relative to the cap that you've got on production and what you produced during this quarter, how should we think about how you manage production from this point onwards?
Morning, Dylan. It's Peter here. The cap at Dargues of 355,000 tonnes per annum applies over a calendar year. So clearly we want to maximise and use that capacity over each calendar year. And you'll see where we are year to date from the previous quarterly that we're on track to do that.
Okay, fair enough. Just in terms of the concentrate sales, you mentioned trying to tighten up the working capital by using, what is it, containers versus what is it, just a bulk at the moment. How can that tighten things up in the future? Just to give us some clarification on that.
Okay, thanks, Dylan. It's Ian. We currently, with our bulk shipments, they go out in roughly 5,000 ton increments when we go to containerized flight. Containerized freight, that will be reduced down to 1,000 to 2,000 lots. That will help have more regular shipments. That's how we'll reduce our working capital and get better cash flow.
Okay, that's nice and clear. Just finally on
hey, Hera, Dylan, it's Dan. Just wanted to add to that. I mean, what you can clearly see between the assets is you look at the deltas between gold produced and gold sold. You can see the Peak and Hera on a vast majority of time anyway will sell pretty close to what they've produced. At Dargues, it's not the case. You can see because of that build up to get to a decent number of trains and a shift load that can sit there towards the end of the quarter. And you can see the delta there between those tons produced and ounces produced and ounces sold being close to 3,000. Yeah. By going to the containerised, we'll be moving stock off for sale on a lot more frequent basis rather than waiting for it to build up, and that will stop these movements between building inventory and sold.
Okay, that's quite clear. Just finally on Hera, I didn't quite understand the pullback in tonnes, and have those problems been solved? Could you just give us a bit of detail around that and how much longer you could perhaps be tapping such high grades relative to the resource model in its current state?
Dylan, it's Peter again. So mentioned in the first part of the quarter that we had some issues getting into stopes in the North Pod, which we've now resolved. And we had some remediation work to do around existing development lower down in the mine, which we've now resolved as well. So we're getting back into consistent ore delivery. And in fact, for the quarter, you'll see we actually produce more tonnes mined than milled. In the second half of the quarter, because we didn't have the blending capacity available, we were feeding much higher base metal grades into the circuit, and that thoroughly bottlenecked the process plant. Going forward, we expect in the current quarter to see those higher grades continue, but back off post that time. Having said that, I'm always happy to have better than expected grades through the concentrator.
I can imagine. Does this open up the opportunity to perhaps start trucking some more north to Peak to handle that high grade? Or is that still something that's a little bit down the line?
That's a bit further down the line, Dylan. Predominantly on the basis of consenting.
Okay, fair enough. I'll circle back with more. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Andrew Bowler with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
G'day, gents. Obviously, the vaccine rollout in New South Wales has been pretty handy today. I was just wondering the assumptions you made around your guidance, you know, with respect to restrictions and whatnot. Obviously, there's a little bit more free movement these days, or whether or not your guidance was you know, predicated on a pretty insular model at your sites. Cheers.
I'll take that one, Andrew. It's Dan. Well, in fact, the reaffirmation of our guidance probably does have a fair bit to do with the situation with COVID. And we're 3 months into the year, we're seeing restrictions easing, and I'll come back to that point following this comment. Our view is once we start seeing restrictions easing, what we typically see at these inflection points of where there's a change is that scarcity of labour comes on again. And every time we get a change between ourselves and our major contract partners, we can settle things down over a period of time. But when we start seeing these changes or inflections and the gates open, for want of a better term, we believe we're of the view that labour scarcity or shortage will continue during when this period of opening up of restrictions happens. So we are quite cautious about what that means for us. Additionally, in terms of the protocols we're putting in place, I think we mentioned this at the last quarterly, you know, Aurelia is in a position of all three of its operating assets being in regional New South Wales. We're clearly still seeing a gap between the state average and the regional averages, particularly via separate LGAs. And as a result of that, our protocols are not changing. We are holding on to significant, protocols in terms of mitigating or eliminating the chances of COVID hitting our sites. And with that, will still be some of the ongoing inefficiencies in relation to those restrictions. We'll keep an eye on that, but at this point in time, our guidance has been the reaffirmation of the guidance has taken into account COVID, and I think to a degree the fact that we're still 3 months into a 12-month guidance period.
In terms of, vaccination rates, I mean, obviously it's well reported, as you mentioned, that the vaccination rates in regional New South Wales aren't quite as high as metro areas. The minerals industry in Western Australia has mandated vaccines for staff. Is that something that New South Wales is looking at, or is it, a bit more pro-choice over there?
A bit more pro-choice. The minerals industry or resources industry didn't make the cut in terms of the state government's directions on mandatory vaccination. I think like many producers in New South Wales, we're watching that incredibly closely as to what that means for us. And therefore, from our perspective, when we are aware there is a gap from generally in our LGAs to the state average, we will be holding on to these protocols to ensure, that we minimise the chance of an outbreak on a site. So it's actually we talk about climate change being fast moving. COVID's exactly that as well for us. We're confident in the controls, but we are probably being, overly cautious until we get a better line of sight at an individual level on where people are in terms of status. And I think like many an operator in the state, we're probably on the fence when it comes to what our views are on mandatory vaccination versus not. And we've made a decision to encourage, provide additional vaccination opportunities for people on our site and within our community until we get a better fix on what those numbers look like. And then we'll reassess that decision pretty much on probably a two-weekly to a monthly basis. And just to expand on that a bit further, I think people can see that vaccination rates are appearing to come off a bit. You know, what that's enabled us to do as a business is get pop-up clinics actually on our sites now. So not just for the benefit of all our people, but also open to the communities, particularly in and around the Nymagee-Hera area, and hopefully as we go further in the Peak and Cobar area. And that's just something we can do for the community, but it also makes it a lot easier for our people to get vaccinated.
No worries. Thanks very much for that, guys.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Clifford for closing remarks.
Thanks, Rachel. So just in closing, I think the terminology I want to use here is I think you have seen the fact that we're around the corner of this complexity, particularly with our operations performance and the underpinning strategy. For us now, it's simple. It's the highest grade ores prioritised to the mills. It's our cost per tonne or our all-in sustaining costs. By our throughput, for us, it just equals cash flow. Now, we talk about complex ore bodies. That's management's job to control that complexity. That's drill out, model, plan, execute. So for us, our role is to turn this as simple as we can for our investors. It's durable, and you can see from the results we're getting in exploration, just the sheer opportunity to be extending our mine lives here really is incredibly valuable. And I think also the commodity mix for us with gold dominant, high-grade base metals, and copper now really go to the heart of what our strategy is. But just think about a bit of a recap across the three areas we covered and really call it out for what it is. We reset this paradigm of complexity with simplicity through our operating performance, supercharge the IRRs with our exploration and development, and the opportunities that sit in front of us are tested, near-term and tangible across the spread of precious and base metals. As we get around that corner, I think you're probably sensing there's this, I thought about this, a better word, but either way, an infectious sense of excitement with the business, underpinned by absolute confidence, conviction for what the team's driving at here and putting us and our investors in a really compelling position with the platform that's laid out. We're looking forward to the one-on-ones post this presentation over the course of this week and next. And also importantly, just as a reminder to everyone, the Aurelia AGM to be held on the 4th of November. And with that, thank you very much, everyone, and we will talk later on in the quarter. Thank you.